ahead and dig into the text that God has given us. And of course, this probably is going to be preached in many places.
Amen.
I noticed Brother Douglas couldn't avoid it this morning for the devotional. Amen. And it's been in everybody's mind. Brother Goosby approached me with it on yesterday when we came in, but it was already in my spirit. So I can see that this is something that the Lord is putting on the minds of many of His children. I do want to express great thanks to the musicians and the singers and the choir director and all of you who lead us in worshiping God and giving Him praise. Amen. It is a blessing to be here. So we're going to go ahead and look into Psalm number 91. Amen. And this kind of speaks to the situation that you and I are enduring at this time. Amen. Psalms number 91, starting at verse 1 from the KJV. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Amen. We end at verse 11. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His holy word. And a few words from the Apostle James. James writes, is any among you afflicted? James 5 and 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. That is the word of the Lord from the new covenant to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of His holy word. Amen. We'd like to use for a subject for the next few minutes remaining in the spirit in spite of the news. Remaining in the spirit in spite of the news. Amen. There's always an evil report coming from the world, and it's understandable that the world would have an evil report, considering that the world doesn't have the security that the church has. Amen. There are some people even that call themselves the church who seem not to have security in the time that we live in. And I'm just going to say this today because we want to, as you know, our theme for this year has been living life in the spirit. So this is the reason for the topic, remaining in the spirit. If we began in the spirit, we must continue in the spirit. Now that means being inside the influence of God's Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given unto each one who has accepted the gospel, who has believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, that should be the whole church. We pray that it eventually would be the whole world, because our mission, when Jesus got up out the grave and shook off death, Second Timothy says He abolished death.
Yes.
Why? Because He got out of the grave and declared all power, Matthew 28:18, is given me to me in heaven and earth. Then he told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he literally says, lo, I am with you all the days. That's what the literal rendering would be. We say, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
Yes.
The same difference. The literal Greek says, lo, I am with you all the days. That means however many days there are. Now, you know, God has a set number of days that there will be. And after that time, time won't be anymore. God's going to shake out everything, and there's only a set number of days. And whatever number that is, Jesus said, I will be with you.
Yes.
Always. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So our confidence in what Christ has promised us is the foundation upon which we operate every day. Must be. Because you can turn on the news and be very, very terribly discouraged. You hear all kinds of doomsayers, and you see the actions of the public who are moved by the report of the news. And but God has given me and you some insight by the Holy Spirit. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ was crucified for their sake, in other words, he took what he took on the cross in order to satisfy the just judgment of God. And he did that on behalf of everyone who believes in him.
Amen.
See, now there's a whole group of folks in the world who don't believe in him.
Amen.
Who put him behind their back. They deny his what he did, even though the scripture is black and white, plain and clear. But it's only black and white, plain and clear if you believe. That's the caveat.
That's right.
We got a lot of folks don't believe. If you don't believe, no wonder you can't understand what God said.
That's right.
See, so you got a whole lot of people. You even have people who go in and out of buildings that they call churches, but the building is not the church, it's the people. The church are the people who believe. The word ecclesia is a group of people. That word is translated church. It's not the building itself or the temple or any of that. The Bible says you and I who believe in Christ are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
See, we are living stones, Peter said. Each one of us who believes is like a stone in the building of God. So God's building is portable, if you will. Kind of like the tabernacle was portable. It could be moved around to different places, and it was led by God. His presence would lead them to the place where the tabernacle was to be set up. And they were following God wherever he went as they traveled back in those days. Y'all know that story. But one of the greatest challenges of being a disciple, which is what you and I have been called, a disciple by definition, the Greek word mathetes, is a learner. You're not called to be rocket scientists. You're not called to know everything. You are called to be a learner. That means I am learning every day. Every time I sit at the feet of Jesus in his word, I am learning something about God. I'm having a closer relationship with God every time because I'm learning more and more. So that's the glory of being a disciple, but it's also the simplicity of being a disciple. God's not calling you to be a rocket scientist. He's not calling you to be an astrophysicist or chemist or biologist, although it's okay if you're any of those things. He's calling you to be a learner, a disciple of his word. And he's given his son as a model to demonstrate his word. That's why John 1:14 said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. See, that's what John writes in John 1:14. So one of the greatest challenges of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is learning to operate with internal confidence in exactly what God has said, no matter what other information is present which opposes what God has said. There's always going to be other information that opposes what God has said. You know, and people who don't believe, you should give them a little slack. because they don't believe, so you can't really expect them to have the confidence that you have. Because if you believe, God has given you confidence. He has moved in. He didn't leave it up to us to figure it out. He said, you trust my son, this is my deal with the world, not just us who believe. We want you who believe to go tell the others so they can believe. See, I'm going to use you to reach them. And the original model that Jesus set before us was just to call 12. Just a handful. That 12 is kind of like the sets of 12 throughout the Word. Y'all know I like to talk about it all the time because there's so many 12s. Like that clock back there has 12 arrangements for the hour, every hour. There are 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. That's no coincidence. There are 12 months in the year. We can go on and on. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 apostles that were called. There are 12 gates on the city of heaven. You know what? There's 12 keys on that piano and on that guitar over there. There's 12s everywhere, and that's no accident. And it didn't evolve, let me let you know. God decided that it would be that way. All the way back, there's 12 signs of the zodiac. Not that we're into the zodiac. We're into astronomy, but not astrology. You see. But there's 12s in all these things, and it's no accident. It took man time to figure out all these things. You see. But God has set them in order the very day he created everything. So the 12 is really a big deal. Okay? And you're going to continue to see it all through the scripture. 12 is a very important number to God. There's even a book called The Book of Numbers that talks about numbers, how God has set things up in order. And so basically you and I were disciples, and he only called 12, but as a result of that 12, look at the church. There are multiple thousands, millions of people who have come to believe because Jesus came out of heaven face to face with God the Father from eternity past to execute a plan he and God had made even before the world began. And we speak of it in three persons all the time. Y'all know that. And some people have a problem with that. They say, oh, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. I said, no, but 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. So your math is wrong. You're just doing the wrong equation. That's why you don't understand the Trinity. Because God multiplies, let grace be multiplied unto you. You see what I'm saying? And so you can come up with one if you do the right formula. But the fact is, God loves you. He gave his son. He had promised to do it already. He was not tricked by Satan at all when Satan corrupted the creation. God already knew that would happen. See? But he knew also that he would take on flesh at a moment in time, and that's what we call the incarnation. And that means in the flesh, when God became flesh, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. John said, we saw it. We witnessed it. He was one of those 12, as you know. He called himself the disciple who Jesus loved. But so one of our great challenges is to have confidence internally in exactly what God has said, no matter what other information is present which opposes what God has said. You know what? There's always going to be information coming into your life that opposes what God said. See? You're going to have it all the time. And you know who God, the Bible says, is not the author of confusion. So he's not trying to confuse you. He's written down distinctly and clearly in the Bible exactly what you need to know. The situation with me and you as disciples is to become so engrossed in what God has said that we're fully aware of what God has said, and we believe what he said no matter what else we hear. See? So you have to get your mind to the place where, and that's why the book of 2 Corinthians says we walk by faith and not by sight. I can't go by what I see. Oh, look at all the millions of people raiding Walmart, buying up all the stuff. Because they're nervous and they're scared. They're not going to have anything. You know what God said? You don't have to worry about having food on your table. He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And your cup is going to run over. See? Now, does that mean I won't miss a meal? Maybe I will. Maybe I could afford to miss a couple. You see what I'm saying? You know, but I'm not worried about any starvation. I'm not worried about any of this kind of stuff that they're talking about, all these prognosticators who have no faith. You know, I haven't heard any of them mention God. You know, they're telling you how horrible this disease is. Well, you know what? There's been so many diseases. If you look at that, we passed out a sheet this morning. They're talking about all this. There's constantly been a virus, a flu. You know where all that comes from? Sin came in and corrupted the creation long ago. And they keep going on and on and on and on. You know, they're giving more attention to this one to the point that it's scaring people. You know? Some people are kind of a little shaky about all the stuff when they see the pandemonium. And, you know, when they talk about pandemic, look at the pandemonium going on. With all these people reacting to what you said and not operating in faith. So you and I need to realize that we want to trust what God has said no matter what. This psalm is a good reminder for me and you. It says, notice this, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High,
yes,
shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a secret place because not everyone knows where this place is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we know it because we've trusted Christ.
Yes, we do.
He's giving you inside information into what God is doing.
Yeah.
See, it's a secret place only because the people who believe can be there in that place. Where is that? In God.
In God.
See, he says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you have died, that's your old life, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3 says. See, so our whole role has changed. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. That's that secrecy. The kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Don't expect to see it in the flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born from above. See, so the new birth from above gives you and me insight into the secret things of the Most High God. So that's what the psalmist knew all the way back here in Psalms 91.
Amen.
He said, he that dwelleth, that word, that's why I like the KJV, dwelleth, anything ending with an ETH, ending like that, which you don't get that in modern translation. People say, oh, that's old and antiquated. Well, it blesses my soul because it means you continue to dwell. You started believing and you got into God and you stay in him forever. It's a perpetual thing. Any word ending with that ETH in the KJV. So he that dwelleth, that means continually dwells. Dwelling is where you live. This is the realm of where I live. My dwelling is my home. See, so I have a home, a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and I'm dwelling in God right now. Why? Because my old life is dead. It's been put to death by the faith in Jesus Christ. New life in Christ has been given to me by faith alone. Not that I earned it or deserved it. He gave it to you by faith alone. I like that one song that says, Jesus gave it to me and I'm going to let it shine. See, he gave you a new light on the inside. So you don't have a vision of doom in your life. Why? Because you've been born again in the Spirit of God. And that's where you live. That's the realm of where you live. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's why he said, when you pray, go get in your secret closet. You don't have to do it to be seen or for show. Talk to God. He knows where you're at. He who sees in secret will reward thee openly. See, because he knows what's going on in the secret place of the Most High. So we go there to meet him. We abide under the shadow, it says, of the Almighty. See that? In other words, God is covering me. He's protecting me. His shadow is covering over me because I'm in his secret place. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. See, I'm going to trust him. Like we sing, I will trust in the Lord all my days. So we're going to live in him. He is my refuge. In other words, when I need covering or protection, I run in, like he says, that the Lord is a strong tower, the name of the Lord. And the righteous run in and they are safe. See, so we run to safety in him when we get shifting winds of doctrine in the church and in the world. Wherever it's coming from, I don't care. there. Because you know why? Because I got secret inside information from the Most High God. And I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So I'm going to stay right there. Because I find peace there. I find comfort there. I find protection there. And it's not just a place for you to go for the purpose of prayer and all these things. That's all good. But it's also a place of protection. The secret place of the Most High. Verse 3 says in Psalm 91, he shall deliver thee from the snare, that's a trap, of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. That word noisome pestilence, that's the word that refers to disease. And you know what? They're making a lot of noise about this one. That word noisome hits me a special way. But they're making a whole lot of noise about this one. There have been so many, it's unbelievable. It's nearly innumerable. If you take time and look, get on the Centers for Disease Control of Sight. They have an A to Z menu of all the various stuff. And how many have you heard in your lifetime? Swine flu, West Nile virus, on and on and on and on and on and on. And they've been coming and going, and we've been right here through all of them. That's not saying, that doesn't mean I won't necessarily contract one. That's not the issue. But the fact is, even if I do, I'm still in the secret place of the Most High.
That's right.
And you know what? If I say, oh, I'm not going to go here, not going to go there, that's not going to change it, because if it's in my track record to get it, if God has it a plan for me, I'll get it wherever I'm at.
Right.
But you know what? He can bring me through it, or if he wants to take me home, that's his business.
That's
so either way, I'm not going to worry about it, because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I'm not here to give you a false hope today.
Right.
I'm trying to tell you, stay in the secret place of the Most High.
Yeah.
Realize that God's will be done. That should be what you want to be done.
Right.
It's what I want to be done, his will. You know, and I believe he will. So far, you know, I've been here 63 years, and whatever viruses there were from 63 years ago up till today, I'm still here. So I'm going to keep trusting it. I think I'm on a good track. You know what? I don't have any worry or fear in my mind about what's coming down the pike. I don't care what the news says, because God is my shepherd. And I shall not want. See? And if he want me at home, I'm coming home. That's all. So don't try to keep me full of a fear factor, because I trust God already. He already took care of my worst problem already, which would be death, if I want to call that a problem. See? Because he said your whole life has been put to death already when you trust Christ. And I've covered you with his perfection and given you new life in him. And Jesus didn't say, I come that you might have corona. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So I believe that. So CNN, say what you want. But I trust in the living God. He is the one who defeated the grave and death. Got up with all power in his hand. And he told me, if I trust him, I don't need to worry about your report. You know what? Think about this. It's always been the case. There was a time when they were going in to spy on the land, that they had been told to conquest that land, go in and take over that land. 12 spies went out. Two of them came back and said, I trust God and we can take the land. The majority said, oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Isn't that something? The majority of people don't have faith to trust that God will give you what he promised you. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, we are well able to take the land because God said go in and do it. Don't make no difference that there are giants and we look like grasshoppers. You know, the opposition looked way bigger than what we thought we could have. That's because you're trying to handle it. You're not giving it to him who told you to do it. See? So you gotta trust God. Just like David. They talk about Goliath. Oh, nobody's gonna tangle with him. You know, David said, no, I'll take that big old Philistine, I'll knock him down in a heartbeat, because you come against the living God. And God is the one gonna take you down. Because you're an enemy of the Lord. I don't have to worry about that. Just give me a sling. So I'll try to give him his armor. It was so heavy he couldn't even wear it. He said, put that stuff away. Give me my slingshot. This is what I'm familiar with. See, because he'd been practicing taking them stones and hitting them. He got really good with it. And we know he took 5 stones and knocked Goliath right on down with 1 stone. They tell me Goliath had 4 more brothers. He said, just in case your brothers get upset, I'm ready for them too. See, so you and I just need to understand God has you covered. If he told you to do it, you are well able to do it. So we need to keep our minds right there. I don't care about all these folks. I was listening to NPR. I just turned it on to see what were they talking about on the way in. They have such a doom story, it's unbelievable. You know, but we don't have a story of doom. We have a blessing from the Most High God. It says here in verse 4 that he will cover thee with his feathers. This is a picture of a mother bird hovering over her brood. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. See, he's covering you with his truth. You trust in his word. That's why we like that Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't make no difference. All your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. He'll show you how to handle this situation too. You know, I like one that my mother used to say. She said, this too will pass. Whatever it is, it came to pass. It's not going to stay. You know, so you and I can have faith and walk by faith and not by sight. Notice what verse 5 says, Psalms 91:5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. You think people are terrified now?
Yeah.
Go look at all these food shelves. They're terrified. Oh my goodness. You know what? And eventually, if it's as bad as you say, you ain't gonna be able to stock up enough anyway, are you?
That's right.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's really crazy to go there. Yeah. Nor for the arrow that flies by day, that would make you think about all the wars and rumors of wars. That Jesus already told you that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Yeah. But see that you be not troubled, for the end is not yet. All these, he said, are the beginning of sorrows. Told you in Matthew 24. Yeah. Notice verse 6, nor for the pestilence. That's an old King James word that means diseases that walketh in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Night and day, trouble and reports of disease and sickness. You know what? You and I don't have to be worried about. As I mentioned this morning, when folk were sick, they used to hurry to the church, because the church was a place where you could be healed.
That's right.
See, the folks who trusted God came to church because I want God to fix it, because the doctors can't do nothing about it necessarily. See, so you should have a good peace of mind about how you carry yourself. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, verse 7. And 10,000 at thy right hand. No matter how many you see going down, but it shall not come nigh thee. God says, I'm going to bless you in the midst of it all. Only with thine eyes, you're going to be a witness, shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. See? And there's a difference, because people of faith are not considered the wicked. A lot of times we judge ourselves, and rightly we should, if we have things that we consider wicked. But the Lord said, confess your faults one to another. We'll see that in James. And pray for one another that you may be healed. So we're in a healing atmosphere just by being in the church. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's why you need to be in the church. You need to be connected, because God's the one that can break the yokes that are holding you back, keeping you in sin. See, so we come here for that. I rejoice over that. I can look at myself and say, hey, I got a whole big sin list that don't exist anymore. God cleaned it up. You know what? He's working on the rest, because I keep coming to the table. And I keep saying, Lord, help me here. Help me here, Lord. I failed here. Help me, Lord. And you know what? The Lord keeps on helping me. See, so he promised that for everyone who believed in him. That's why he put the table of the communion in the church. So that when you come, you can have a way to cleanse those things that he is turning on the light, showing you what's wrong. Every time he turns a light on more, I see a little bit more dirt in another corner. I need to get swept out. You see what I mean? And I keep on bringing it to him. He keeps sweeping it out. And he keeps covering me, giving me peace in the meantime. So we don't have to worry. We want to remain in the spirit in spite of the news, no matter what the people are saying around you. You know what? If they don't know the Lord, no wonder you jacked up. You need to get right with God. Then you won't be so fearful. See, trust in the Lord, and you'll feel better about where you're at And you won't be tossed to and fro like Paul told the Ephesians. Don't be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Yeah.
By the deception out of it. You can believe at the root of a lot of what we're hearing is some greed, I guarantee you.
Yes, it is.
Jesus said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. They love money more than they do people. Somebody's saying, boy, if we could just get into that company that makes that vaccine and invest a few billion, we're going to make trillions. Scare the daylights out of the world and then sell them the cure. That's the way they think. But you and I don't have to worry about it. Right at election time, we get this. So there's a lot of smoke screen that you should be able to see through. See what I'm saying? Because God is going to cover you. He's got your back. If you believe him, his son defeated the grave. Don't you think he can take care of any other problem that you and I have? We trust in him. Notice what he said. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see the reward of the wicked. Keep watching. They're going to get what they got coming. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
Yes.
Habitation means this is where I dwell. I live right here. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Keep my mind stayed on him. See? There shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And in their hands shall they bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That's what the rest of that goes on to say. Not on your sheet. But I want you to see that using the promises of Psalms 91 as an example, strictly as an example, because God has many other great promises for those who believe in him. But also every other word that is proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus said, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Don't worry about your bread. I got that. When my children were in the wilderness, they wanted bread. I sent bread down from heaven. I can take care of that. See, when Elijah, even my prophet, got where he could not, there was a famine in the land. He said, I send the raven, the birds of prey, to bring you meat every day. See, so he knows what you need. He knows what circumstances you're in. And he can do exceeding and abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. So you have every reason to remain in the spirit in spite of the news. No matter what news you hear, get your news from the most fresh news that there is on the planet. God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Trust in him and give his word priority over whatever you hear. Realize he can send ministering angels. Did we ever see that in the word? Yes, all through the word.
Yes.
God sent ministering angels to minister to those who were the heirs of salvation. So we don't have to worry about that. His word is true. We must hold at an immeasurably higher place in our minds his word that is far more the focus. In other words, focus on his word and not any of the other news, speculation, or even hard realities that exist. People may give you numbers and statistics.
Yes.
And I'm not saying don't believe necessarily what they say. Yeah, it's true. But I'm not worried about it.
That's it.
I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it.
Amen.
I'm going to trust God.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to keep my mind on his mission that he has given me.
All right.
And these hard realities exist because it is the very counsel of the Most High God which cannot be altered. Understand that. And shall not fail no matter how dire your situation seems. See, no matter what you're going through, how dire the situation seems, everything that God said is true.
That's right.
It'll come to pass. So even if I were to be sick of some sort, I'm going to trust God. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. See, and I'm going to put it in modern English. I ain't studying y'all in the news. You're not going to shake my faith. Because I'm rooted up on the rock. So one of the most serious positions to cultivate and maintain in our spiritual lives is learning to remain in faith by believing God's promises as written, that they are sure and cannot be altered by anything, no matter how many others may doubt defy or oppose what thus saith the Lord. No matter what they say,
right.
God's word is true. I'm holding on.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Hope that's true of you.
Yes.
So let's look at James here real quick just to get some more ideas. Notice what James writes. He says, is there any afflicted among you?
Mm-hmm.
Notice where these people are. They are among you. Church folk.
Yes.
Is there any afflicted among you? Let him pray. That's the solution. Is any merry? Let him sing. That's why we come in here and praise his name. We merry. We love him. We thank him for what he did. If somebody's afflicted, we're going to pray for you when you come here.
We will.
If it's me, you pray for me.
Yes.
We sing that song. You pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. I need you. I love you. I need you to survive. That's the family of God.
Yes.
We're here for that purpose. That's what James is describing here. Is any sick among you? Oh, there's going to be some sick among us? Yes. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. See that? I don't want to miss that. Confess your faults. What? There's folks with faults in the church? Well, I thought the first church was the holy people. We are. But we got faults.
Amen.
We got issues. But we're a family who trust in God. We trust his solution. You know what? The most powerful vaccine I ever seen was the one where Jesus got up out the grave and shook off death. And said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. See? You know what? They guarded the tomb. That didn't stop him from getting up out the tomb. Rolling away the stone. And he was mutilated and marred beyond recognition. See, abused more than any man.
Yes.
See, and he took all that for me and you
in
order to provide us with safety and security in the sight of God. So no matter what happens, I went cut to the chase, took care of your worst problem first. So don't you think I can take care of a smaller problem? That's what he's saying to me and you today, saints.
Yeah.
Trust in him. Realize that he did. He went and healed the sick, raised Lazarus out the grave, all of that. He did all that way back then.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you would know, even before he went to the grave, he told Mary and Martha, don't you know I am the resurrection and the life?
Exactly.
You know, he that believeth in me shall never die. He said, he who liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Even though he be dead, he said, yet shall he live.
Yes, shall he live.
See, so I can cure that. That's worse than any other thing you can name. If I can cure dead for 4 days, come on now. So you and I need to keep our minds rooted and planted in what God has said. Notice what else James says. Confess your faults. I want to go over that one more time. One to another. And pray for one another that you may be healed.
Yes.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's going to make a big difference if you just pray. Don't get in the fear, get in the prayer. See, if I'm a fear only him. Jesus said, do not fear him who can destroy the body. And when he's done that, that's all he can do. But fear him who can destroy the body and soul and cast both into hell. That's who you should fear. So James teaches us the godly reactions that we must employ when there is bad news. We must maintain that God's word is good news. And therefore his word shall ultimately prevail for the ones who believe it and apply it, regardless of what's blowing around in the wind in the defective faithlessness of the fallen views of unbelievers. Don't let what the prognosticators are saying steal your faith. Your faith is going to be your shield, your buckler and your shield. God said this in 2 Timothy 1:6, just a few verses as I close. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is given thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul talking to Timothy. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Paul was locked up right in his inner jail. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Yes.
Realize that you will be persecuted, you'll be spoken ill of, but God is your refuge and your shield. This is God who, he says in 2 Timothy 1:9, has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What you're running on is power that was given to you by God before the world began. So think about that. You know what? The world is setting up right now, just as I make preparation to close, for a time that it has never seen. They think this is bad. Y'all should have been in Bible study Tuesday evening when we read about when the lambs start to break the seals. See, what we have now, this new virus still shows the same ratios as all the other ones, flu and everything else. There's no difference in the death rate. See, and a lot of people getting it in Revelation when this lamb begins to break the seals, he says that 25% of the population of the world will perish. Think about that. We haven't seen anything like that. We would say, oh, that's of apocalyptic proportion. That's what they would say, and that's true. So folks who are not in Christ, you ought to be worried about Revelation 6, baby. Let me tell you some news from God. You need to repent and get right with God. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference who you are with a false religion. Whoever it is didn't get out the grave. You need some help. Jesus got up proving that he is the son of David. That he is the Messiah. He is the seed of Abraham. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way of salvation. And you need to trust him. You think this is bad, be here when that starts to happen, when the lamb starts to break the seals. See, you know what? The church won't be here. The scripture says that we're going to be taken up, and then God's going to deal severely. They haven't seen a plague yet. Wait till you get on the wrong side of God by not accepting his son. You're going to see something way worse than this. Jesus said this here is just the beginning of sorrows. See, we're seeing the onset of what God is going to do. And he's doing that not to hurt anybody. He wants evil, unrepentant folks to repent and be saved. You know why? Because it's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know what? He's not going to put up with it all the time. He already gave his son for it. Think about that. I think that's the only reason God is withholding wrath from everybody. Because I'm already satisfied with what my son has done. So he's in a state of satisfaction, but he has promise he won't go on forever. There is a day of reckoning. There will be a day of judgment, but you don't want to be caught up in it. I don't want you to be caught up in it. That's why I have people preach the good news, that you can come right now and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know for sure, have the security that you are saved. You don't want to wait till God starts to shake the heavens and the earth, and that time he is coming. See, because he already promised it. It'll come just as surely as the sunrise. You know, and these are times that people would like to avoid. If you understand, God says you can be saved just by trusting in his son. And if some of this seems over your head, understand this. He said through Isaiah that for my thoughts, Isaiah 55:8, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what people don't know? God really loves you. He doesn't want to judge you. When I made man, I didn't make him to destroy him. I made him to bless him and give him dominion over the earth. And sin is what brought in sickness and disease and death. Because he said, the day you disobey me, that day you will surely die. But I came in and supplied a solution, because I don't want anyone to perish. It was not God's desire that people would perish. That means to be separated from him forever. But he gives you that choice. So if you receive him, to as many as received him, the word says to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. Just trust in Jesus Christ. And I have to say it, because I want to make sure everybody knows, God's not against you. If you have a problem with God, it's your fault. Because God gave his son to show you how much he loves you. And made him the most famous person in history. Nobody else is more famous than Jesus.
Nobody.
Because we count every second that the clock ticks based on when he came. And this is for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. See? And so we want to understand, trusting God is a thing that we need to do. Whoever believes in the name of the Son of God, the Bible says, will not be put to shame. See? And if you don't, it's a shame, because God has been preaching to you, telling you, I love you, this is what I did for you, why won't you accept it? Think about that. That's a legitimate question.
Yes.
Why won't you accept free grace?
Free grace.
unmerited favor, love, and kindness. I'm giving you eternal life, and you shall never perish, Jesus.
Never.
See, and you're worried about some disease running around and letting that drive you crazy. See, you know what? You don't have to worry. You can trust in the Lord, and He will give you salvation. He'll give you peace. The Bible said that passeth all understanding.
Yes, He will.
You know, I should be nervous and worried when I hear all the craziness that I'm hearing. But I'm not worried at all. See, I am not fearful at all. Because it doesn't do me any good.
Yeah.
It's contrary to my faith to be worried.
That's right.
And fearful. You know, I'm concerned about people I know who are not rooted in Christ.
Yes.
I know some folks not rooted in Christ, or they're shaking a little bit now in their boots. But God allows this so people will repent.
Yes.
And the solution is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
Amen.
And I want to be saved no matter what. If you say you're going home tomorrow, Brother Fisher, I want to be saved today.
Right.
So I'm ready when it's time to go.
Yes.
See?
Yes, Lord.
So I'm not going to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I wouldn't give nothing for my journey, like they say. You know what? I'm going to keep trusting Him, and I hope you do too. Let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank You right now, Lord, for the good news. Your word is good news, Lord God. It's peace for our soul. You said You would grant us peace like a river. And so, Father, we just thank You right now. If there's anybody hearing my weak voice, oh God, who has never trusted in Your Son, Father, we ask You today, give them faith. We realize that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we ask You, bless somebody under the sound of my voice with salvation right now. Let them know they do not have to fear. They do not have to worry. They do not have to fret. That You gave Your Son to cover them with perfect righteousness. Something we cannot generate. We do not deserve. We cannot earn. But You give it to us by grace. And so, Father, You said whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ, that He was crucified on the Roman cross and laid in a dusty grave for 3 days and nights. But You raised Him up with all power in His hands early on the first day of the week. Father, whoever believes in Him, You said, will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. So we ask You today, cover somebody today, Father. Give them that faith they need to believe. Father, You said in Your word, if we would do that, take that one step, then You would do the rest. And so, Father, we rest and lean on the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless every person under the sound of my voice. Strengthen our confidence, Lord God, so that we can continue in the Spirit no matter what news comes to our ears. And remember our purpose in the midst of every trial and every circumstance. Father, bless every home, every family that's represented here. And if somebody freshly got saved, Father, give them joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord God, they might rejoice from this moment forward. We ask and declare this in the name of Your Son, Jesus the Christ, the risen Son of the living God. And it's in His mighty name we pray, and the whole church said together, amen. Give God praise today. Hallelujah.